Praise the Lord. Well, have you ever dealt with somebody that said, I was wondering if you might be able to help me? Huh? You know, the reason they said, I was wondering if you could help me, is because they first wanted to find out if you're willing to help them. You know, I guess if you don't put a title on what I don't talk about tonight, you could call getting the if out of the way. You know, if is a little word, but it makes a big difference. Hello. So you see, it's two letters, I and F of the alphabet. Somebody has said this. I don't know. I ain't going to count them. I ain't going to. But somebody said that the word if is used in the New King James Bible 1,630 times. I don't know. I mean, I'm just quoting what somebody else said. And you'll probably go out and quote. You may go out and quote that now. You say, I said it. I didn't say it. I just read it. All right. You know, in Mark 1:40, you know, I just saw Tony Cook sitting over there, and he had asked permission to use some material from this ministry in an article he just wrote, and I just read it. You might want to go to his website. And is it on there yet? It won't be up till August. But in August, I want you to go read it, because it talks about hell. You know, people are not mentioning hell anymore. He quotes all of the famous guys, and he quotes what Billy Graham had a lot to say about hell. And my dad did too, because he went there and almost went there. But if you want to read that story, it's in a little book called Back I Went to Hell Back There. But I read that article today, and it's really a good article. It might help you. You know, people say, oh, well, Jesus is good, and he is. But Jesus had a lot to say about hell itself. You know, and I realize that a lot of people go crazy when you mention that. Oh, we can't mention that. It puts condemnation on people. No, it doesn't put condemnation. It just tells them if they don't line up with the Word of God, that's where they're going to end up. That's what Jesus said, okay? All right. Everybody find Mark 1:40. That wasn't even part of this. I just happened to look over and see him, and I had just read that, and it stuck in my mind, okay? Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, I am willing, be clean, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Now this is a story of this guy coming. We have to get the if out of the way. He had to get the if out of the way to get anything. See, the word if is the problem that a lot of people have. Now, in life, not just with the Word of God, in life, have you ever heard anybody say, if only I would have done that, I'd be way ahead. If only I would have kept my mouth shut, I wouldn't be in this mess. If only I hadn't have got involved, it would be a whole lot different. If I would have taken advantage of that opportunity, I'd be rich. I mean, we talk about that all the time. You know, and some people live a life of regret. That's all they ever talk about. If you talk to them, pretty soon they'll be telling you, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done that. You know, sometimes if our kids would listen, they wouldn't be in the mess they're in either. Hello, come on now. All right. Constantly thinking about the ifs of the past will hold you in captive from receiving the blessings of today. You need to realize that word "if" is a hurdle that you need to get over. Actually, "if" is actually the voice of doubt and unbelief that is coming up most of the time concerning the promises of God. You know, he said, "if you will." You see, if you put "if" in there, it puts a lid on what you're being able to believe for. You can't believe for it if you don't believe it's the will. Right? Actually, it's a conditional word. It determines whether or not you get something. You know, I've seen some people grow up physically, but the way they acted, I wondered if they'd ever learned anything at all in life. Growing up to be an adult and be successful, you have to often, you know, and handle responsibility. Growing up and learning how to handle responsibility is on if you learn something. See, the word "if" is good in some sense, in some instances, but the way I'm talking about it with the Word of God, "if" is not good. As spiritual children, we need to learn what we need to do, not if we learn it. We need to learn it if we're going to receive the blessings that God said we can have. You know, there are a whole lot of people that would be a lot further down the road spiritually, financially, in every way in their life if they would just learn how to believe God's word. I didn't say they weren't Christians. There's a lot of people that are saved and born again. They're gonna go to heaven, but they're living way below the blessings of God that he talks about in the Word. They're living way below that. You know, what we need to do is to realize that if puts a doubt in our mind. See here, he said, "if you're willing." Well, when he came to Jesus, he knew he could heal because other people have been healed. His question was, are you willing to heal me? See, before he can believe and receive, he has to know that Jesus is willing to heal him too. How many understand where I'm coming from with this? You see, he in verse 40 said, "if you're willing, you can make me clean." In other words, he had no problem with him being able to heal. And if you ever notice, some people have no problem with God being able to heal, but they say, "if it's your will you heal us?" And the problem with that is that he's already told us that is his will. He told this leper, that is this leprosy man here, that it was his will. He's told us already that by his stripes you are healed. So if he took the stripes on, he is willing to heal because he took the stripes. You know, the question is, and actually what kept this man from receiving right off of the bat was he knew Jesus healed, but he didn't know if he would heal him. You know, it wasn't until the man found out that Jesus was willing that he got anything. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, when the question was removed, if he would, then he did. He got his healing. You know, getting the "if" out of the way positions positioned this leper. It positions us to receive the blessings of God, what he said in his word. See, the word of God, as long as we're wondering with the word if it's his will, then we're not going to receive. Some people, you know, they say, well, if the word really says that, why is it happening to me? Well, right there, they're putting the if there. They're not believing the word. If the word really means that, why am I not getting it? If Jesus really took the stripes on his back, why am I still sick? Well, you got to believe. Right there, you've got a question right there already. You're questioning. And that's what the enemy likes to get you to do. He likes to get you questioning, because at that point, he gets you away from believing what the word says and begin questioning, which will lead you over into doubt. Now, I want to show you something here. Go to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. I want to show you something here. Matthew 4:3. Got it mixed up. Matthew 4:3. We got that there. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him upon a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." You notice the devil can quote scripture too. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus answered him and said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came to minister to him. I want you to notice, three times the devil used the word if. If you're the Son of God. What was he doing there? He was challenging Jesus on his identity. And you know, one of the things I love to teach is redemptive realities, which talks about our identity with Christ, identification with Christ. You see, we've got to identify with Jesus. When you identify with Jesus, you end up identifying with the glory of God. Then he said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down." Here he was challenging the power of God. And if you've ever noticed, that's what the devil does. He says, "Well, hey, is God really powerful enough to handle this situation of yours? I mean, he might handle something else, but hey, it's not going to work this time. It don't work for you." Anybody ever been there? Yeah. And then he said, "All these things I'll give you." Here, he was challenging his commitment to the Father God for the redemptive plan of man. He challenged you with your commitment to God. Is it really worth it? If it was really, really worth it, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in. See, he's challenging your commitment to God. See, the old three Hebrew boys that got thrown in the fiery furnace, you know, they said, "I believe God will deliver us, but if not..." Now, see, here's an if. Their commitment was, if not, we're not going back anyway. We're not going to bow out of that thing. We're not going to bow down. I mean, you see where I'm going with this thing? See, there's two sides on this if business. You know, here he tried to make Christ question who he was. But Jesus knew who he was. He tried to make him doubt the power of God. And then he tried to get him out of his commitment. The enemy, that's the three things that the enemy will do to you all the time. He will challenge your identity of who you are in Christ. Anybody ever notice that? And see, we got to go back. If we're in Christ, we're a new creation. And then he'll challenge the power of God. He'll challenge your commitment. Are you really committed? Are you, you know, if you're really committed, then you wouldn't be doing this. See, he challenges you every time he turns around. You know, another way he challenges you with an if is, If you believe the scriptures, you're just being foolish. If you think the scriptures for you, you're mistaken. That's a good one he uses a lot of times. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, I got some hands. Yeah. If you try to use your faith on this situation, man, you're gonna fall flat on your face. You better just go out there and try to get it done for yourself. Don't believe God on this. See, what he's trying to do is get you to doubt the word of God. Everything he's doing is getting you to doubt God's word. You know, I sometimes get amused at Christians. They always want the devil to leave them alone. But that's not going to happen. Not as long as you're trying to serve Christ. You know, some people just hoping, oh, well, I hope today that I don't have any encounters with the devil today. Hope he don't give me any trouble. You know, that reminds me of a story. My dad is one of my favorite stories. My dad, a guy came up and said, Brother Hagin, would you pray for me that I won't have no more trouble with the devil? And then you got to know my dad. He looked at him the only the way he could. And he said, you want me to pray you'll die? That's about the way he said it too. Tony, can you hear him saying it? You know, and he went on to tell the man, he said, as long as you're in it, you're this life, the devil is going to try to get you out of the plan of God. Get you out of the blessings of God. Get you out of the word of God. And really, Jesus already told us in John 10:10 that the devil was going to be there. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to steal your blessings. He's trying to kill you. You know, we need to quit hoping the devil leave us alone but instead get ourselves armed with the word of God. And just like when the devil came at Jesus came back at him even though he quoted the word, Jesus came back and quoted a word to counteract what he was trying to say. Anyway, the devil taking all that out of, he takes it out of context. He uses scripture, but he takes it out of context. You ever notice that? See, when he shows up, man, we need to just smack him upside the head with the word. Now, you can't literally do that, but you can by it coming out of your mouth. You know, we need to tell him, it is written, and start quoting the word. It is written, no weapon formed against me will prosper. It is written, I've not been given the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Mr. Devil, get out of here. Jesus already defeated you. I don't have to put up with you. Get out of here. Pack up all your goods and your mess and get out of here. Come on. Hello. See, we need to be alert that the enemy, the devil, will always be there to try to plant a doubt of the word of God in our life. In our minds. He'll always be questioning you. Well, if you're really in the will of God, this wouldn't be happening. More than likely, if you got junk going on coming against you, you're in the will. Because he's not going to try to get you. If you're not in the will of God, he's not going to mess with you. But that's what I hear. If you were in the will of God, you wouldn't be having this trouble.
Really?
Well, I believe the Apostle Paul was in the will of God, and my soul, did he ever have any much? he had trouble on top of trouble. You ever read it over there? He told you how many times he had been in jail and how many times he had been beaten, left for dead, and all kinds of stuff. You know, the devil wants to take that word if and get you out of the arena of faith over into the arena of natural reasoning. And when he does, he's got you. You've got to stay in the arena of faith. Doubt is the thief of God's blessings. Doubt in the form of the word if comes at us more than we realize. We need to get that little word out. And that's what I told you the title of it, getting the if out of the way. Get out of my way. Now, you got to apply the antidote of God's word against the poison of the word if. Now, if you get bit, or when a person is bit by a poisonous snake or accidentally drinks poison, immediately the medical personnel give them an antidote to work against that poison. You know, if you've ever been out in West Texas, I think they do it out here in Western Oklahoma too, but in out in West Texas, they have these big rattlesnake roundups. Man, and I want to tell you what, out there in West Texas, you can get some of them big old, they bring in some of them big old diamondbacks about that big around, and can be, 4 foot long. And one of the reasons for catching those, they turn them loose. So I wouldn't turn them back loose. I'd get rid of them, but they turn them loose because they catch them and they hold their fangs in a beaker jar, and they milk that poison out. Then they take that poison to the laboratory, and they use the same poison that will kill you to make an antidote that if you get bit by that snake, then they can put that antidote in you and it will reverse the effects of the poison, right? It neutralizes the effects of that poison. Well, we need to treat if as a dangerous and a poisonous thing. And we need to feed on the word of God that is the antidote against doubt and unbelief. When the question of if God is willing comes to our mind, the only way that we can get that if out is by what the word of God says. See, you can't afford to mess around with doubt and unbelief. It'll kill you. It'll take everything away from you. You know, there are some people, they like to go and they're just doing it for fun. They're not doing it like those guys do when they catch those out there in West Texas for to milk them for the poison. They're all the time they're trying to pick up a snake. I ain't going to pick one up. Even if it's a little old green grass snake, it ain't going to hurt you. I still ain't going to pick it up. Come on now. But you don't notice there's some people that, you know, they mess around with things that can get them in trouble. They're dangerous. I saw something on Facebook here. Oh, it's been a long while back. Somebody put something on there. And a guy, he stuck his hand down in an alligator's mouth. That's crazy. You know, and they charm these cobra deer, these hooded cobras. I mean, man, you know, you just don't mess with something that's going to get you in trouble. So don't mess with the word if, because it's going to get you in trouble. If God, if the word, if the, no, the word says it. I believe it. That said, it's saying, if, get out of here. Come on. See, when you know what the word of God says, then if the word, if that if comes, you repel it. You know, when Jesus came off the Mount of Transfiguration in Mark 9:23, you know, he was confronted with the father and the lunatic boy. Right? And Jesus said to him, now here we're going to use the word if in a good fashion. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. See, now, there are times that this is if is a good word, but most of the time with the devil bringing it to you, he's trying to get you out. Here he said, if you can believe. In other words, that means that it's up to you. It's not up to him. It's up to you. And immediately the man said, Lord, I believe. And then he said, help my unbelief. But see, he didn't know how to help his unbelief, so he just asked God to help him. We know how to help our unbelief by reading the word of God. Romans 10:17, for faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. See, the message that Jesus gave here is, if you can believe, it can happen. See, that's the if on the other side. You notice I'm trying to walk both sides here. I do that a lot of times, though, with my messages, I guess. You know, now, sometimes people, they come to you and they talk to you and they say they're having problems. Say, okay. And you give them the word. You give them scriptures to go read. And they come back, well, it's not working. Well, how many times you read? Oh, I just read it once. I think that you need to read it more once. You need to read it more once a week. How many of you, and there's nothing wrong with doctors, nothing wrong with medicine, that's God's way of helping man that don't know how to believe, and you can help, you know, like one preacher said, yeah, if I said it, you know who he is, but he said, I can eat, if I got a headache, I can either take an aspirin or have a faith battle. But now, have you ever had medicines prescribed and it says on there, take one tablet, blah, 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 and then it'll say, make sure you take all the tablets, right? Well, see, it's just not reading the scripture once, one time. It's continually reading it for the rest of your life. It's a lifestyle. hearing the word, feeding our faith, and starving our doubts comes by reading the word. Jesus raised a question. See, the devil raises the question, well, if it's the word, why is it not happening? If. Jesus, on the other side, raised the question, if you can believe. See, now that's putting some responsibility back on you. Can you believe the word? Will you believe the word? Will you act on the word? Will you receive? Or will you allow the enemy to steal your blessing? You know, I just talked about this little word if, but I think everybody understands what I was trying to do. And we, you know, God's willing to give us everything he promised on the word. And we're willing to believe it. If we don't allow the devil to cause us to question it and get us in doubt. Everybody got a Bible? Or got it on your iPad or your iPhone? I got it on both. I got it right here and I got it here. I only got one translation here. I don't know. I got a whole bunch of different translations right here. How many of you are with me like that? You got a bunch of, and I sort of like that because, used to when I first started preaching, you had to, if you wanted to go to different translations, now you got all of these different Bibles laying out on the desk. And you're having to go from one to the other. Now I can, with the computer, I can get them all right there and just go right down, go right from one to the other, look it back and forth. Hello? Hold your Bible up. It's not if this is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It's not if this will work in my life. I believe. And it's working in my life. This is God's Word. It's full of blessings for me. If I'll believe them, I can have them. I believe. Therefore, they're mine. Everybody stand up and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Every promise is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Don't let the devil. That's his sneaky way of coming in the back door, trying to steal your blessing. Hallelujah. All right. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep the if out, and I'm going to get all the blessing that God has for me. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, come to the front right now.